The scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, till Joshua 6, 5. Joshua 5, beginning in verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Beloved congregation, the text for this morning is the last part of Joshua chapter 5. Verses 13, 14, and 15. As they were just read to us. And then, the Lord willing, next week we'll read the remaining part of 6 and we'll preach on, I believe, the entire chapter in a fashion. Beloved congregation, 10 years ago, about this very hour, our nation was struck in a way that most of us never imagined. The acts of violence then and hatred penetrated that day in such a way that it sent shockwaves, you might say, through the heart of our nation. 10 years ago, there was much searching of the heart. People flocked again to church and stopped their hurried pursuit of pleasure for a few Sundays, for a few short weeks or days. As we look back today, we grieve as we remember. We grieve with those that lost loved ones that day or thereafter. We remember to the extent that we came to know, but we remember and are grateful for the emergency personnel for their bravery and heroism, often at the cost of their life. We are grateful for those who followed the call to defend our country and attack the enemy. But that day was more than all the things that I've mentioned now. That day, 10 years ago, who spoke? The Lord spoke, did he not? And his word still stands. That message of 10 years ago still sounds today. If we only will hear. And you can think in terms of the Lord speaking by the prophet Amos, for example, where the Lord says, "Hear ye the rod, and him who hath appointed it." 9/11/2001 was a day on which the Lord God called America to repent. And that message applies today as well. For America's repentance, if anything, was short-lived. Like the morning dew, we could say. It soon passes away. It was so external for the most part. And thus it is all the more important that we earnestly hear it today. Because it is as if the sword of the Lord is still pointed at us today and stretched out. And we cannot but ask what Joshua asked in our text. Remember the words read this morning when he asked, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And so on this 10th anniversary of 9/11, we wish to see with the help of the Lord what he is saying to us today in his word, through his word. And we'll do it under the theme of when God's sword points at us. That's the theme, when God's sword points at us. And our three basic thoughts will be an unexpected meeting, an important lesson, a humbled soldier. So when God's sword points at us, an unexpected meeting, an important lesson, a humbled soldier. First of all, an unexpected meeting. Children, you too know this story in Joshua chapter 5, don't you? Finally, the time has come for Israel to start conquering the land of Canaan. The army is ready, has been inspected. What had to be set in order has been set in order. The circumcision of those who were uncircumcised first had to take place, has taken place. The service of God, indeed, has to come first. And now it is first. The Passover, remember from a week ago, the Passover was celebrated. Israel once again has been exercised in faith. Now a beginning can be made with the conquest of the land of Canaan, and the first city to be conquered is Jericho, close by. Joshua, the leader of the people of Israel, feels the weight of his responsibility. He may have remembered, "The Lord said to me, 'Be strong and courageous.' Now I have to be. Now I have to be. I have to provide leadership," he may have been thinking. "It's expected of me that I tell the people now how they must go to work." But Joshua has never performed a task like this one before. He maybe knows a bit about how to surround walled cities and capture them. But to just know a bit about it and how to tackle this in practice is another thing. Which division of the army am I now to mobilize? He may have been thinking. And I don't have in my army any specialized unit. And if I did, which unit then must I mobilize? The engineers? The artillery? Maybe absorbed in this kind of thought, Joshua proceeded to investigate. And he thought to himself, I'm going to inspect the walls of Jericho closer by. I'll see the walls, I'm going to observe the gates, I'm going to uncover hopefully some potentially weak points, if they exist. Do I need to use force, or do I need to use maybe subtlety? And naturally, Joshua has chosen darkness, the cover of darkness, for this excursion to the city of Jericho. No, this time he has not been sending spies. And he has not taken the best of his soldiers along just in case. He's all alone. He goes himself. The situation is too important. And children, do you see Joshua doing this? There goes who? Joshua, who is he? He's the general. There he goes under the cover of darkness. Kind of like Nehemiah. Remember later on, Nehemiah, many years later, investigating the fallen walls of Jerusalem by night. And I repeat, Joshua goes alone. Nobody may hinder him. He needs to formulate his own thoughts above all. And this we need to say, especially congregation, he seeks to have an opportunity to consult the Lord here. Question, why does Joshua do this? Did the Lord say, go and go on your own and go toward? Why does he do this? Yet it is, though not spelled out, it is clear, is it not? Because Joshua has to conquer the city, but the Lord has not given to Joshua a worked out plan of attack, at least not at this moment yet. And therefore Joshua at this moment does what his hands find him to do. He avails himself of the means. Has the Lord given him talents to lead the people and to command an army? Well, let him then use those talents, provided he does not only or solely depend on himself and limit himself to his insights. Because Joshua is faced with the things that are impossible to Joshua, as we too often find ourselves, whether at home in the upbringing of our children or at work or taking a place in this community as a church, we find ourselves faced with questions. How are we going to do this? And finding so few answers. And especially when it comes to fighting battles, you need to know. Especially when it comes to fighting the battles of the Lord. And then suddenly there, out of the darkness, what is this? A sword headed straight for Joshua. There's someone else here with the drawn sword in his hand. And they stand in the dark, face to face. Joshua wonders, who is he? It races through Joshua's mind. Congregation, all things, of all things, I should say, of all things, there, these questions in the darkness. And in darkness, things only seem to be getting worse. A sword at him, out of the darkness. And this is one of two possibilities. Either he belongs to Jericho, the enemy, or he belongs to Israel. Is this a Canaanite or maybe an Israelite? And with this question, Joshua confronts the stranger. And the answer that Joshua was given must have struck Joshua in his ears as so noteworthy. The stranger says, "I don't belong to either camp." How can that be? Instead of subjecting himself to Joshua, who is the general, instead of subjecting himself to Joshua's command, Joshua is to place himself under the command of this stranger. Who is who? Who is the prince of the host of the Lord? Who is the captain of the host of the Lord, the armies of the Lord, the heavenly armies? That's the answer that's given to him. And now Joshua knows with whom he has to do. At the same time, he knows who will be the true captain in the coming battle and battles, and who will be in charge of all the battles to come. After all, it does not concern merely a war that Israel has to wage and where Joshua has to give the leadership, but this is ultimately a battle which the Lord has with the wicked, the godless Canaanites, inhabitants of that land. They are, who are the Canaanites? They are God's enemies, with whom God has had so much patience. But they have turned out to be incorrigible in their apostasy from God. And that's why now the day of reckoning has come for the wicked Canaanites. And in this battle, the Lord gives orders to Joshua. And Joshua has to place himself under the orders of this captain. For in the execution of the punishment of the Canaanites, the Lord is going to use Joshua and the people of Israel as instruments in his hand. Congregation, let us at this point learn from this answer that the heavenly captain gives to Joshua. Let us learn this lesson. Joshua wants to know from this captain whether this man, whether he is on the side of Joshua or on the side of the Canaanites. And think of that now in your life and in my life. Is it not so that there are times in our life, or perhaps often in our life, we wonder, on which side does the Lord stand? Have you never wondered that? Which side does the Lord take? Does he belong to us? It's a typical approach of quote-unquote Christian men in this world, congregation. So often the Lord has been claimed for a certain cause over which people were enthusiastic and they wanted to support that cause and defend that cause. And so often in pursuing some cause, man seeks to enlist the Lord. Lord, come to our side. We need thee. But let us at this point, congregation, learn this important lesson, that the Lord never goes with us. It's precisely the other way around. We must go with him. Notice the difference. Remember this. We must always go with him. And that's why we read so often in the scriptures that the Lord says, follow me. Follow me. So that, first of all, congregation. Let's move to our second point for this morning, an important lesson, because this is indeed important. For so often we think that we can simply go ahead in our own chosen way, and then we go to the Lord in prayer and we say, Lord, please help me. This is where I'm going. Please go with me. Please bless me. Never thought that way? Has not our nation, America, often thought that way? Just think of that. America's often thought, we're a Christian nation. We have God on our side. And that's why all will be well. Congregation, the sinner, always imagines that, until the Lord comes, or unless the Lord comes with the sword and begins to teach him the truth that he, the sinner, is against the Lord, and the Lord must be against him because of his sin. And the Lord will not simply go along with a man, congregation, or with a nation that is a sinner. He cannot, he will not. Either man must come under the Lord, or the Lord is against him. And that's true for America, for our nation, congregation, as well. 10 years after 9/11, 2001. 10 years after all those terrorist attacks. Why will not our nation at this time bow, even with the sword pointed at us? It is as if we have forgotten that God came against us 10 years ago. For God's people, congregation, however, there is also this lesson that we must learn, and we must learn it again, and that is to wait upon the Lord and to know ourselves dependent on the Lord. And that's also the instructive given to Joshua in our text. And not only is it instructive for Joshua, but it's corrective for Joshua. It's a correction given to Joshua in God's grace. And here, the question may well be raised, what is it that we plan, congregation? What is our strategy? What is it that we fight for? What is it that we aim for? We, church people, other people may think that we are busy with things of their God and of their religion. But while we can give that impression, we can deep down still focus on our own interests and on our own glory. And especially the question, do you belong to us or to our adversaries? That question expresses something of Joshua's preoccupation, we might say, with his own things. We must learn to see that the Lord is concerned with and for other things than our things, namely for his and with his cause and his name, for which we must be gained. And then God must not come to our side or to be on our side, as if God has to step over the boundary and join us on our side. No, instead we must be brought to his side and turned to his side must be converted. That's the word. Converted to him and to his cause for the first time and again and afresh. And I ask you, dear congregation, have you and have I already learned that lesson? Now notice in this passage that God does not place any conditions to Joshua before he manifests himself as the captain of the hosts of the Lord to save. No. He doesn't put any conditions to Joshua before manifesting himself. What is it that the Lord says to him? He says, as captain of the hosts of the Lord, am I now come with my salvation, my blessing. Because when God comes, congregation, then he brings everything with him. For God gives himself wholly to us. And thus, he paves the way for us and in us to him. It's not so that only after you and I have satisfied certain conditions from God's side, that then there is the surprise or the surprising promise of the Lord, of his help and of his presence. No, the Lord's promise is first. And therefore, from out of that, he takes us along to where? He brings us to himself. And thus he teaches us to give ourselves to him, to his cause. From out of the confidence in him, from out of the encounter with him. And congregation, this is the essential lesson for our nation, for our churches, and for ourselves. Do you begin to see that? What is the lesson for Joshua, the general Joshua? The lesson for the general Joshua is that he must become a soldier under God. God must become the general, and we must simply wait on him and follow him. He has everything in his hands, and he brings everything to pass. Now, do you know of this in your life? Has the sword of the Lord ever been consecrated in your life to that end? Or, you know, when the Holy Spirit makes you and me truly to see that God is not for us by nature, but he's against me, against you, then, what then? Then you begin to tremble. God against me? And then you begin to see what? You begin your sin against him. That all your life long you have lived against the Lord, against his law, against his grace. And then you humble yourself in dust and in ashes. And then you take the shoes truly from your feet, as Joshua will do. Finally, then, congregation, a humble soldier. A humble soldier. You see, Joshua, in a certain sense, has to step aside now that he meets the actual general. Is Joshua willing to do so? Are you? Am I willing to do that? I mean, truly stand to the side. By nature, we cannot. And we will not. The last thing we will do, and we will not do it by nature, is that we submit to God's control. And if Joshua had not been a man who feared the Lord, if Joshua had still been in his natural state, he would not have submitted to the Lord. He would have found a way somehow to maintain his control in a measure. Maybe I can share this control with God. Or I'll say that I submit to him, but I still keep in my heart an area in my life where I can maintain control myself. O congregation, especially when God comes to us with his sword stretched out in the dark. And he does that at times in our life, in the way of a dark providence. And then we feel threatened. And such has happened with our nation. But that can happen in your own life. Difficulty in your health. Problem in your family. And you thought you could handle that. It turns out you can't. Have you ever had that in life? Especially in the area of you and me submitting ourselves to God. To God and to his righteousness. And when it comes to that point where we fall into the arms of God's mercy, and when it comes to living our life the way he calls us to live our life, or especially when it comes to the Christian warfare, the Christian fighting. As you have it on Sunday, you leave church and you go home, and the first thing there sometimes is an argument over nothing or over something, but an argument, and the atmosphere is so different. Or on Monday, with the work week, or with all the challenges, and you find you can't do it in your own strength, being the commander. No, you need to be a humble soldier. A humble soldier. And then think of Joshua, that this is what he has to learn at this point in life, after he had been a leader already for under Moses and a general in the army. But how true God does that in our life. This is what you must do. Relinquish your control. And we are such controllers, congregation. This is how we survive. As long as we can control in this area and in that area and another area, then we think we can manage in our marriage or in our family. No, God calls us to go his way, the way of submission and of trust, the way of humbling yourself, the way of humiliation. And Joshua, by God's grace, is willing. He has come to understand so well with whom he had to do there. And we see that in two aspects, congregation. First of all, in his worship. Because this understanding who he is that he has to do with, who has come to him, that understanding fills him with deep reverence and great respect. I stand. He knows, I stand over against the Lord himself. And we can say, congregation, now reading it from the perspective of the New Testament, we can say that Joshua here is standing before the Son of God in the Old Testament manifestation. And we read several times in the Old Testament that he appears as the angel of the Lord. And that's how he is here. And we see it more often, that when he appears, then man does what? Kneels down. Kneels down with reverence, filled with reverence. That's what Joshua does. He falls on his face, congregation, to the earth. That is, he makes himself small. And he doesn't need time to think as to what am I going to do now? No, this happens quite spontaneously. As you see more often in the scriptures elsewhere, deeper respect for the Lord brings Joshua immediately to his knees, to his face on the ground. So that's first of all his worship, but secondly his readiness to be taught by the angel of the Lord himself. He is immediately willing to submit to the commands of the Lord who has come to him. And now he says, what saith my Lord unto, not his general, but his servant? It's like Saul when he was converted on the road to Damascus and he came off that high horse, as it were, and he fell with his face to the ground and he said, who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? You see, then Saul in the New Testament is no longer the general of Saul's life, but he's ready to come down and to listen and to be taught and to follow and to obey. And then Saul doesn't say, no, wait a minute, no, what wilt thou? And he submits to what God teaches him to know from the beginning to the end. You can think of Samuel, young Samuel. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And then the Lord taught him. And that's what the Lord does here with Joshua. He appears to Joshua as the angel of the Lord. And Joshua goes on his knees. And he takes it in what the Lord says. This is Christ, congregation, coming to Joshua. Christ. What do you mean then, you may think? Christ, who would ultimately and who would finally come to fight against the devil and all the enemies of our soul and body. No wonder that Joshua here is filled with deep reverence. Do we know of this in our life, congregation, this falling down before the Lord and becoming so small? Do you know of a time in your life that you submitted to the Lord, that you lost over against the Lord, and you submitted to his generalship, his rule, his hand to guide you? And that's specifically of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel of free grace. Then spiritually understood, the shoes will come off your feet. You'll be a lowly servant, no longer the general. You'll be content without shoes because you will have this angel of the Lord. And that's more than your shoes. You will have a guide, a general. You will have victory. You will have life evermore. Or is it so, congregation, that you hear this message this morning, you sit in church, and you say to yourself, no, I have not submitted to this general. I'm still in charge of the battles in my own life, and I have not lost to the Lord. I've still been living on my own terms. Oh, I've not learned to submit to his terms of salvation. And it's so needful, congregation, that you and I learn to stop thinking so highly of ourselves and that we become small, small in our own eyes, and that we become silent, that we put the hand upon our mouth, inwardly speaking, and also outwardly get filled with awe before God, especially the way we approach Him. We approach Him and we pray, and we know it. God is in heaven and we are on the earth. Therefore, let our words be few, in a certain sense, few. And that we are conscious of who He is. And then if we think yet of who we are, guilty sinners, then it's clear where our place is and what our posture should be. Now the fact that Joshua, congregation, who is the general, the fact that he obeys the command of this commander of the Lord's army points to his complete surrender to the Lord, his dependence on the Lord as his general, who is greater than him, and it doesn't paralyze him. On the contrary, his dependence is on this great general. In him lies his strength. Or you can think of Paul writing to the church in Corinth, the second epistle, chapter 12, where Joshua, in terms now of Joshua, where Joshua has to take on this battle, but not in his strength. God will go with him. God will even take the lead. Faithful is he that calls you. The Apostle Paul writes later on, who will also do it. And that doesn't make Paul lazy, inert, but alert. The drawn sword is drawn against the enemies and against everything that does not accord with God's plan. This is grace, congregation. Did not the Lord Jesus say so himself while he was on this earth during his public ministry? He said, I've come to bring the sword. And the question is, are your shoes and my shoes off our feet, spiritually understood? There is no more blessed life than under his control. Oh, fall before this captain. Oh, that our nation may fall under this captain. Also in these days, when we remember how the sword came against us 10 years ago. But there is one more thing in our text, and with that I will close, congregation. Notice how the Lord uses a word that you may have ignored. I have not mentioned it yet, actually, in my preaching. But let me read what the Lord says. Very significant word. He says, as the captain of the hosts of the Lord, am I now come. Now. It's a very significant word. Now. As the battle is about to start. Now, when Joshua wonders, how must I do all this? And he urgently needs light and wisdom from on high, especially as he is facing Jericho, that fortified city with the walls and the gates, an impregnable fortress. At that moment, the captain comes from heaven, precisely now, on this time, the right time, God's time, he steps in a saving and in a supporting way. And this now, congregation, N-O-W, this now is the surprise of God's grace throughout the scriptures. Think of Paul writing to the church in Corinth, that second epistle that I just referred to, chapter 12. Think of chapter 6, the second verse. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And that word now refers to what? Refers to a turning point. As Paul writes, for example, in Romans 3, verse 21, where he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And we congregation today, September 11, 2011, we live where, when? We live in the now of the grace of God. And that is because the sword of the Lord ultimately came against the Lord Jesus Christ in that dark night of suffering and his death. In fact, we read it in the prophet Zechariah, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against him that is my fellow, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones." There lies our hope, beloved, also for our nation. And it is in his wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ that we must learn to hide and take shelter also in this day, in this day, in this now, by faith, in this Redeemer and in his redemption secured by his coming under the sword. Or think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, if Christ were not risen then, and then in verse 20 he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. God's appearance brings that turning point in the life of an individual and in the life of a nation. And it runs out in the scriptures in the death and the resurrection of Christ, and from there extends the history of salvation. Every time again in history there is the coming of God, congregation. Whether it's in a terrorist attack, or whether it is in another hurricane and a flooding through a large part of our land, or another disaster, and we only can talk, it seems, outside the church about Mother Nature. But it is God coming, and it's the grace of God as a surprising event. We don't then expect it anymore from our own assessment of things, our own investigation of the walls and the city of the enemies. No, God comes. And God addresses us at that very moment. Now that is the grace of God. But if we despise the warnings of God, if we forget the sword and happily or not so happily live on, only being happy that I wasn't the one that got killed at that time, or not my wife, or not my dad, if our pride is never humbled, congregation, never broken, and we never learn of Christ, our need of him, and his salvation, and to bow under him, that he becomes our general, and we only a humble soldier, oh, then the sword of God's justice will forever, forever come against us, upon us even, and that forever. O America, delay not, lest his anger arise, and ye should perish in the way. Lord, come as our general over all of us, old ones and the young ones, and everyone in between. O lead thy church as we seek to knock on doors in this area and have us follow therein, and let us take the shoes off our feet, asking the Lord, what wilt thou have us to do? Beloved, that is what the Lord is calling us to do. And that's what it means to lean on his grace. And he who does not belong to this God is where? On the side of the enemies of God. Belongs to the camp of the enemies, even covenant members. And they thought that they were safe within the walls of Jericho. But Jericho and all the inhabitants, except for Rahab and her family, suffered defeat. Utter defeat. And Israel conquered the promised land by God's Genoa. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, how it behooves us indeed to fall down on our faces before Thee, and in the name of Jesus Christ to address Thee and to ask Thee, who art Thou, Lord? What wilt Thou have me to do? Let Thy word impact us. So impact us that we delay not lest Thy anger rise. And let Thy word reach our nation. That our nation delay not and will perish in the way. Dismiss us under Thy hands of blessing. Bless the Sunday school classes, the catechism classes, our being together not merely for the worship service, but also to open the scriptures and to study the doctrine of Thy word, the person of Thine, O Father, of Thine, O Son, of Thine, O Holy Spirit, who art the one true God that does live forever. Grant us that we may rightly know Thee and grow in Thee. O convert us, and again, and make us what we are called to be, a light, a city on a hill, the salt of the earth, under Thee the general. O blessed Lord Jesus, that Thou didst submit Thyself under the sword of God, of His law, of His wrath, due to our sins, and that Thou didst fulfill all righteousness. Blessed be Thy name, to be proclaimed Christ and Him crucified to all throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.